Cross up ready on the building. We got Big Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is. Talking about the way the world is.
It's Crawl Talk with this radio. Conversations about the high low. It's Big Push and Steph Swig. Two bold brothers kicking down your door. Engaged listeners on topic. Discussions to bring questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truth that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions, and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people. By discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. On the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
Changing up the game, oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode from Crosstalk Radio. This is your man, Steph Swig.
It's your boy, Big Punch.
We got a great show ahead of us. We got a fun show, man. We know we do a lot of heavy topics and you know, we got deep topics, and everybody wants to talk about deep stuff on the show, but sometimes we just want to have fun sometimes. And sometimes
yes, we
just need to laugh and just have a great time. I know we got the infamous Uber stories, Lyft stories, but we got an all-around favorite fun show.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, if you listen to the podcast, you know Steph Swig love movies.
Right.
So tonight, today, this afternoon, this evening, wherever you are listening, is one of those times this morning. We are talking about movies today. Pudge.
Yes.
We're talking about movies, bro.
Yes, we are. Yes,
so we're
going to
talk about our favorite movies. We're going to talk about movies that's impacted us a lot in our lifestyle, in our lifetime, and just all kinds of things around movies today. But Pudge, you got a list of movies over there. What you got for us?
Man, well, let me just, I want to give a list of movies. Let me just start off with one all-time favorite that only one person in my 41 years of living didn't know who this movie was, and she's a white girl, so it's understandable.
Is it the one we had on the show?
Ashley, yeah, she didn't know who it was, and I pretty much ragged on her for about 4 years until she watched it. Coming to America.
Okay, I'm disappointed in her.
I said the same thing,
so
too. I did, too. Ashley, when you
I'm
hear
sorry,
this,
Ash.
Right? Because I because
what you call Foxy?
Fox, sorry, Fox Camp, right?
Sorry, Fox Camp, but I'm disappointed in you
because you know everything black, and how do you not know Coming to America
is probably the number one movie when it comes to black people of our generation.
That was after Color Purple.
Definitely after Color Purple.
Right.
We grew up watching Color Purple, but Coming to America is a much more fun movie.
It was the most funniest probably movie that we had. Sitcom.
Yeah, movie. We're talking
movie
about
that we had, and like black folks ever seen. Then you have Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall playing different characters in the same movie.
Chocolate and all that stuff.
Oh my gosh. And the preacher.
I can't think of his name either. Soul Glow, everything.
Oh my gosh. So, what is your favorite? And I have more. I don't just have one favorite part of Coming to America. But what is your favorite or one of your favorite scenes in Coming to America?
Honestly, a lot of the whole movie, really. But it's when he was, when they went out on that double date and it was at the game and she was rubbing on his crotch and he just was like, yes. And it's like, yo, it's halftime. It's like, yes, this is my favorite part. That part's hilarious to me.
Okay. one of my most hilarious parts, man, is the scene where all three of the parents get up in the Jerry Curl
juice
and sit behind the couch. Is that one? And then when his pops came, when they came to Georgia to find him, and he was like, I told my son to sow his royal oats. And the father was like, you say one more thing, and I'm going to sow this oat for your royal ass.
I remember that part.
It was, there were just so many levels.
Yo.
The royal hind, penis is clean, you know what I'm saying? That yes, right there.
That part was hilarious.
I mean, it was so many.
I mean, we can quote the movie. Everybody quotes the movie. Juices and berries. Like, you know, yes, you just said it and everybody knows.
Why does that number occupy? And man, when I say everyone watching this, it's funny because as bad as this part is and as worse as everybody sound, the whole crowd will start off talking about, she's your queen to be. When I say hilarious. And me and my sisters and my brother, when we grew up, we loved the intro. When it was time, when the African dancing and all when he finally went there to marry old girl, was like, holler, bark like a dog, you know what I'm saying? Hop on one leg, you know what I'm saying?
Whatever you like.
Yeah, like, what do you like? Whatever you like.
Oh,
you know
my God.
But that scene, that African scene,
yeah.
Well, mainly my sisters, they would go and put on, like, feathers and whatnot and react that whole dancing scene when it comes on. Like, we watched that movie at least, like, 4 or 5 times a week, faithfully.
I think every black kid did in America when that movie came out. Like, especially back then, HBO used to kill stuff. So we were on HBO, they played around the clock almost. Yes. Man. We all seen that. Me, my grandmother, my mom, my sister, we watch it, and we quote it, we laugh. Man, another part had me rolling was when the girl's dad realized that Prince Akeem was actually a prince, and how he was breaking.
Oh yes,
going back and forth to that door, hoping it was, man. I was rolling.
That's the music every time we ran back and forth.
Man. But yeah, that's a great one.
When I say there is like a million and one funny parts, he's to be loved. To be loved.
Yes.
Oh, what a feeling. He's like, man, F you. Yes. F you too. Oh, and ain't nothing like sexual chocolate. Oh, my
God. Oh, my God.
When that man threw them hands up and dropped that mic, it said, sexual chocolate. Oh, bro, I think I slobbed maybe. Like, the first 9 times, I like to cry real hard.
I'm gonna have to watch that tonight.
Yes, and I actually, and if you don't, if you've seen Coming to America as a kid growing up and you don't have any in your selection, shame on you.
If you're black, you're not black anymore.
If you're black, if you've never seen Color in the Purple, if you've never seen Color Purple, you need to be beat. Damn. That's just the bottom line. And now I can bypass you not seeing Roots. I can't.
Yeah, I haven't seen Roots.
I haven't seen Roots. I've only seen clips of it. And I know folks will think that we're not black because we haven't seen Roots. But that's completely, I'm not going to compare the Color Purple to Roots, although it had everything to do with slavery, but this was something. The Color Purple was on a whole another level.
Yeah,
it gave
you a black experience not just as a slave, but like on the other side of things, like back then in racism times and stuff like that. The thing is, though, even if I lose black points for Roots, I've seen every other black movie, so I'm good.
Yeah.
I've seen every Denzel movie, every Samuel. Oh, I can't say I've seen every Samuel Jackson movie because he does movies every week.
Right.
However, I see most of his movies. He's got all kinds of movies on Netflix that you probably never even heard of.
All right, so since we on black movies, and not necessarily meaning that a black person actually, you know, directed, produced the movie, but these are movies that we grew up seeing where a majority of black people were in it. So I want to kind of stay right here in our genre for a minute.
Let's do it.
So do you remember Beat Street?
Nope. I did not see Beat Street.
What?
Nope, I did not see Beat Street.
Oh, my. A Beat Street.
I never saw the whole thing in its entirety.
Oh, my
I was more of a Breaking fan.
What card can you lose for not seeing Beat Street?
Dude, I see Breaking.
Breaking was not as good as Beat Street.
You're saying.
Because Crush Groove was my next one. Because I'm like, Crush Groove legit had every rapper that was out.
Cool J in it, Fat Boys, Run DMC,
Sheila E.
Slick Rick in it?
Nah,
Dougie Fresh in it?
Dougie Fresh, yeah. Dougie Fresh was definitely in it.
I can't remember, it's been a long time since I've seen it.
Dougie Fresh, Curtis Blow.
Curtis Blow, yeah.
Curtis Blow.
Basically, it was just a bunch of different videos with a plot in between them, basically, with a ball down.
Pretty much. I mean, and the funny part was I fell in love with the movie instantly because I'm like, I'm literally looking at rappers that rappers that I love during a movie.
Yes, and I back love in that this,
I mean, rap was still new, mm-hmm. and then they actually got a movie out on top of LL. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Huge,
it really was.
It was huge around us.
It was. I think it was, yeah.
I'm talking about around our community. Like, I mean, it wasn't like I don't think it was a nation, like an all-out box. I didn't think it made a lot of money in the theater, but it definitely was a cult classic amongst people who love rap.
Yeah, and it's still a classic right now. So people, if you ever want to know how Def Jam, and I'm going to say Def Jam. You ever want to know how Def Jam records got started? Watch Crush Groove. Yeah. It shows how it got started. Yeah, it started, the album, the movie came out in 84. I think it came out in 85. Def Jam Records was founded in 84. So I think it came out in 85. But either way it go, I'm not going to say it's how hip-hop started, because hip-hop was already in motion. Hip-hop started in like 70s, like 73. So, but
it definitely was, that definitely showcases how Def Jam started. If you're not familiar with Def Jam, it spawned groups like Curtis Blow, LL Cool J, Run DMC.
Salt and Pepper.
Was Run DMC on? No, they wasn't even on Def Jam.
Yeah, that was his brother.
It was his brother, but I don't think they was on Def Jam.
In the beginning?
No, I don't think they ever signed a Def Jam. I'm going to have to look that
they
up.
They eventually went to Def Jam because my father got every album Run DMC made. That first album might not have been Def Jam.
I'm going to look it up because I don't think they ever signed with Def Jam. That's what was crazy. But either way it goes, Run DMC, Fat Boys, LL Cool J, all of the men in the movie, Curtis Blow. Curtis Blow.
It's so many. Man, Sheila E. I was in love with Sheila E., man. I just thought she was the baddest chick on the planet. Like, and I guess my father's a percussionist, so to see a woman be able to beat some congos like that, oh my gosh, I was in love with that little skinny woman. But that's a Crush Groove, Beat Street, Break-In, 1 and 2, Electric Boogaloo. Those were my all-time, like, you know, music, rap favorites and stuff like that. Before I move on to this next one, I want to hear what year or did they ever sign with them.
They was on Arista. Their first album was on Arista. It wasn't Def Jam, but Russell Simmons did produce it.
Okay.
But it wasn't a Def Jam. It wasn't on Def Jam. I'm looking at their second album now with Tougher Than Leather. Yeah.
They didn't eventually wind up.
I don't think they did. I could be wrong, but it seemed like I saw that somewhere. It threw me for a loop. I just knew it was Def Jam.
if you look at the Crush Groove movie, you could see why they wouldn't sign with Def Jam, and it was just Russell and Run. You know, they had run-ins and whatnot.
Yeah.
So
nah, they weren't on Def Jam. They their next album, Tougher Than Leather, was
Columbia. I know eventually I believe they went to Columbia. The one Columbia?
Profile was on Profile on that.
Profile,
one.
Okay.
Now I don't think they ever signed with Def Jam.
Wow, that's weird, but hey. It is what it is.
Yeah. Moving on, but we can get too distracted on the music side. Man. Yo, two hip hop fans. Well, let's get back to the movies though.
Okay.
All right. So you was trying to get me on Beat Street and I never seen it. But tell me about Beat Street. Why is that on your list?
Beat Street is the origin of you ask me, Beat Street is the movie that shows the origin of DJing, graffiti, and parties, which are and partying and breakdancing. Honestly, let me just say it like this: Beat Street gives you all the elements of hip hop.
I got you.
It gives you every last element of hip hop. It gives you the origin of how up north, when we used to have basement parties, but we would have real basement parties. Like, we would go to abandoned houses and hook the electricity up from one house into an abandoned house and party all night long. You know what I'm saying? And the whole house is completely gutted out, boarded up, and we just done opened that bad boy up. And and it was strictly just to party. It wasn't to do none out the way, no kind of drugs. It was strictly, we were strictly just like get together to party all night long. And it was just like the best parties in your life, where the DJ was just the itness of the allness, where I know a lot of people don't know hip hop started with two turntables and a DJ, not a man with a microphone. And true. He was called he was called the wordsmith. He was the one. He was pretty much the hype man. You know, the DJ was the one who did everything, and the wordsmith would hype the DJ up for the crowd. You know, a lot of people don't know that, but B Street, breakdancing. If you want to know anything about breakdancing, watch B Street. I mean, the Get Fresh crew, which is actually a Puerto Rican rap group back then. They was actually, was they the Rocksteady crew or something like that? And they was going against the B Street Breakers. You know what I'm saying? But back in them days, you was battling. You wasn't battling, fighting each other. You was actually battling by dancing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So this is when people hear KRS-One say love, peace, and having fun. This is the era we came from. Love, peace, and having fun.
There you go.
So B Street, man, that's something you want to see. The reason why you go certain places and trains and walls is tagged. That's a part. That's called graffiti. That's a part of hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Even though the society doesn't like it, but it's a form of art. You know, and it goes along with hip hop. It shows you all that. It's a classic. 1984. Yeah. It shows you with a dude making the beat. From hearing water drop to hearing somebody make a noise, and then he go home and record it and then mix it in, scratching. It's just Ray Dong Chong is actually in the movie.
Yeah, I remember that part. I remember her being, I haven't seen the whole thing, but I will watch it.
Yeah, it's awesome. The Last Dragon, dude.
Oh, that's a classic.
I know you see Bruce Leroy.
Yo, that is my youngest sister's favorite movie. We quote that all the time.
Yes.
All the time. Direct
your Who's pizza, the master?
Direct your pizza to Daddy Green's Pizza.
Yes.
Yo, we can quote that all day, man. That is another classic.
Oh, I mean, that everybody knows Who's the Master, show enough. That was just number one classic. One of my favorite parts was his brother. I thought I could do this. His brother, if you remember when his brother got tied up.
I knew you was going
to. Oh my gosh, bro. Popping, getting out that rope.
That was a dope scene.
That was dope. When I say I never in a million years thought you could pop to get yourself out of a rope. Yeah. And then he was tight how he was doing it.
Yeah, he did
the robot joint and all that. So I'm like, that right there mixed in with some karate.
You can't go wrong with that, though.
Nah, you can't, man.
I like the
man.
Little Chinese kid that was kicking behind on the movie.
The little midget.
Yes.
The little short. Yeah, he was. He was. He actually grew up to make a whole bunch of movies, man. Doing karate and stuff, too.
Yeah, he did a lot of movies.
That, and I like the funny white boy.
Oh, he was hilarious.
Yes.
He was
with
hilarious.
The nunchucks.
Yes. When they wanted to be Bruce Lee.
Yeah. And what was the old girl talking about? I'm just a such girl from Kew Gardens.
Yo.
Mr. Nuff, short white guy.
Yo, that movie's awesome.
He called him Mr. Nuff. You got that soul glow, man. I still remember that soundtrack, man.
I actually had the soundtrack.
I actually downloaded the soundtrack.
I did too.
You know, I did too. Because I'm like now, of course, it's obvious the movies we're naming brought life to our childhood because we've been cheesing since we've been talking about these movies. So it's I guess this is.
I'm literally thinking about the movie we talking about. Like, oh, I remember that scene. This scene.
Right.
I did want some Daddy Green's pizza, though. That pizza looked good.
It did.
Oh,
it
my
did.
God.
I did want some Daddy Green's
pizza. I'm hungry now, too, but
when
I definitely
want
some
Daddy Green's. You feel the heat when you got that glow. That's the jail, man. Do you feel like sometimes you wish you can go back?
Of course.
To them days, man.
Of course.
I do.
What about when it was in the theater? It just everything was going on in the theater, smoking weed in the theater.
Oh, throwing stuff all around.
So, dude showed up with a beatbox and started breakdancing in the middle of the movie.
but you know what's funny? I thought that was a little far fetched when that came out. But I went to go visit my god brothers in Philly, Germantown, Philadelphia. As a matter of fact, one of them Jason movies that just came out. But that was the movie we went to go see.
Yeah.
Jason.
Yeah.
I could not believe what I had saw in The Last Dragon is happening in the movie theater that I'm in. Folks smoking weed, people getting up, shake dancing in front of Jason when he pull out his machete. And I'm looking at my god brother's like, is this? He was like, yo, Friday, Saturday nights, you come to the movies for this. Like, you don't come to the movie to watch a movie.
You come to
the
movie
watch everywhere that's going to happen in the movie. Then. So,
wow.
That wasn't too far-fetched for me.
See,
after
I never
that.
Saw it in real life. I thought that was kind of far-fetched, too. I thought, like, wow, they wilding in that one, man.
Right.
Wow.
But New York City back in them days, it don't put nothing past me.
Yeah,
They don't put nothing past me at all. So, we got any more black ones, man?
You can go.
It's still a whole lot out there.
It's a whole lot of them, man. I don't want to do black movies, but while we're on the topic, I will say...
Because I got to... Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Okay, when I say black movie, everybody has a different term. When I say black movies, it's a movie that black people have to have seen in my lifetime.
Okay.
Like, it's like, if you're a black person, it's certain movies that black people culturally have seen.
Right, well, culturally.
Yeah, culturally. Like, we've seen them because we either grew up watching them, our friends watch them, they bring them over, we watch them, whatever.
True.
I was going to go a different route, but I'm going to go right here. I'm going to keep it civil for a little bit longer. Five Heartbeats.
Okay. Now, Five Heartbeats? Oh, that was my favorite one. Whoa. It's Five Heartbeats with Nice Like This.
Yes.
That's when he was on crack.
Yes, when he was on crack.
Okay, yeah, Robert Townsend, yes, hands down. That was my favorite.
Leon singing that part.
Yeah. That was my favorite.
That's a memorable part of the movie. That was actually a sad part of the movie.
It was. It's just that. That's the part that everybody make fun of.
Yeah, they do.
Because he tried to come back.
I wish.
Yeah. Yes, that was a good movie. That was a really, really good movie,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
and that was emotional for me. I don't know why. You know, so I guess because I didn't want them to break up.
Yeah.
You start seeing how everybody start getting all caught up in the lie. And then, you know, at some point in the movie where they took five white guys and put it on the album cover so people would buy the album.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that right there. Why did I remember that of all things? You know what I'm saying? That movie was a very, very good movie. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Did Robert Townsend produce that?
I think he produced and directed it.
Because a lot of people do not give Robert Townsend...
He did a lot.
That man gets a lot of... He don't get the credit that he actually deserves, in my opinion.
He doesn't.
He was one of the first... Before Keenan Ivory Wayans, you know, before the Wayans Brothers came out, he was the first brother to put out black comedy... And then actually have it aired on HBO. Do you remember The Bold, the Black, the Beautiful?
Yeah, I remember that.
Think about it. What other black man had an entity to where it was on HBO?
But the show was called something else. I remember that. I think that was a skit they did on the show called
The skit was The Bold, the Black, and the Beautiful.
I think it was called Partners in Crime or something like that.
Yeah, Partners in Crime.
And they had, matter of fact, Damon Wayans was on one of those episodes.
Yeah, he was on one of them too. Like... Just David Allen Greer,
yeah,
was in there. Thompson.
I don't know.
Skinny dude.
Tommy Davidson was in it.
Sinbad was in it. I mean, he had all
early '80s before Def Comedy Jam, before all of that. Partners in Crime or Something in Crime.
Yeah, and it was. I don't remember what the Robert Townsend. I don't know if it was called the Robert Townsend Show, but it was like when it came on, he did different. Segments of different skin. Pretty much like Coming to America.
Living Color?
In Living Color,
yeah, they would do skits, but they would make fun of movies. Like, they did one on Dirty Hair every night of Living Dead. I remember watching some of that stuff.
Right.
Man.
The Bold, the Black, the Beautiful was off of soap opera that was going on back then.
Of that, yeah.
Right, you know what I'm saying? So, that was the first, oh my gosh, me and my sister, my older sister. Oh my gosh. He there's a part where, In the thing, I wish my sister was watching this, listen to this, man, where dude was like, I want $5,000. And I want it all in nickels and dimes.
Yo.
I want all the nickels and dimes. And then the dude brought the money and it was cash. He's like, nigga, I say I want the nickels and dimes. Nigga, you boot? It was just the way he said it, the way he got the high-pitched voice, like a pimp. He went from a cold hard robber to a high pitched voice with a pimp when he see a bag full of nickels and dimes. It was hilarious, man.
I remember a pimp. I don't remember that one, but I remember a pimp on there. Alright, you name another one.
Harlem Nights.
Harlem Nights.
You can't go with it. I just watched Harlem Nights like 3 nights ago, man.
I think the first time I watched it, I probably wasn't supposed to watch it.
Like, well, the first time I watched it, Harlem Nights by that time was a movie my parents wouldn't let me watch.
Yeah, they wouldn't let me watch it.
Yeah.
I watched it. Sorry, Ma, I did watch it. But I probably wasn't supposed to watch it. But you got Red Fox, Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor in one movie. I know we wasn't supposed to watch that.
Right.
But, man, it was a classic.
It was. And when I saw it, I was like, okay, this is why I wasn't supposed to watch it because of all the cussing in it. But my stomach was still tight. Like, I did several sit-ups from how hard I was laughing. Like, that is in you can't escape the fact that that's an all-time classic.
It is.
Arsenio Hall shooting, crying. It was the dude that with him that got the pow.
Yeah.
It's Arsenio Hall crying and looking at him when he shoot that little that gun. Man, that right there was hilarious. Like that, there are so many funny parts in that movie as well. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of movies, man. We got a lot of movies that Beverly Hills Cop 1, 2, and 3.
You think those are traditional black movies though?
Not Beverly Hills Cop, no.
No, I like those, though.
No, Harlem Nights, yes. Yeah, all other ones we named, yeah. But Beverly Hills Cop, no. It's just...
I love it.
You can't deny. I'm not going to fall a banana in the tailpipe.
Oh, I love it.
Who doesn't remember that? I hear rappers even say that.
Yeah. I love that movie, man. That's one of my favorite Eddie Murphy movies, actually.
What, to my Beverly Hills Cop?
Yeah, Beverly Hills Cop and Golden Child, my favorite Eddie Murphy
movie. I got Beverly Hills Cop. I have the whole collection, and I'm looking at the whole collection, and I have the Golden Child. Like... Those are the ones.
I want the night. I was in 10. I'm still in 10.
Please.
There's no grind down here.
You need to get somebody to clean up down here.
Yo, he had me rolling. That's still my. And we singing on the airplane.
Yes.
And then the way he's just dealing with this demon dude, like this dude's a demon, and he just taunting him.
Right. He just cracking jokes with him.
He's not even taking it serious. That movie's hilarious, yes, man.
That is.
If y'all haven't seen Golden Child, see it, get it, thank me later.
Yeah. Yes, you will definitely be cracking up. I mean, again, it's Eddie Murphy, so
yeah.
How could you?
That's 80s Eddie Murphy, so it's hilarious.
It is. It's really hilarious. Now I was as a kid, man, I was stuck on Back to the Future.
Really? Back to the Future?
Back to the Future, man. Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3.
2 is my all-time favorite, though, when it comes to those movies.
Now, why 2?
Because he went to the future.
Okay. So, in 1, he went to the past.
Yeah, past, he went to the past. That's the 50s, which was cool. I liked the movie.
Right.
But part 2, like, think about it, man. They had flying cars, flying skateboards. They had them Nikes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They actually make those Nikes now, too. You can buy them, but they're costly.
Okay.
And as a father of 4 kids,
can you fly in them?
No, you can't fly them.
Well, I don't want them then.
They look dope. You can look fly in them.
That's a good way to put it. You won't be flying, but you can look fly in them.
Next time come, I might be getting those. But
see, that's what a hardworking father says when income tax time comes.
That's right. No, I can't justify those joints if I don't have extra money coming. I can't do it.
Right. I feel you on that.
But man, on that Back to the Future note, man, that was a great one. I like all of them.
All of them.
Part 2 is my favorite, but they're all really good movies. I have all those too. Now, for me, Stand By Me is probably one of my favorite kid movies.
Man.
You remember Stand By Me?
When they found the dead body.
Yeah, they walked the train tracks.
Yeah, that was sad.
It was sad, but it was a good movie.
Oh, it was definitely good.
And the reason I liked that movie is because I didn't do anything like that, mm-hmm. but I had friends, and that was something we probably would have done. I had friends, we talked like that, because back then,
right?
I don't know how it is now, because my kids don't cuss in front of me, but you can't cuss in front of your parents.
Right.
And I damn sure couldn't cuss in front of my parents.
Right.
But, you know, kids talk like that. When they got away from their parents, they did stuff like that. They played cards. They smoked cigarettes.
That's true.
And I thought it was cool because I could relate to those kids. Those kids are like kids I would have actually hung out with.
Okay.
Like they went camping.
They actually had a lot of fun together.
And they act like kids that I knew. Like sometimes movies don't capture what it's like.
A real kid.
These kids are punching and ragging on each other.
Right.
It's true.
Right.
So.
And that was a really good movie.
Stand By Me is probably one of my favorite childhood movies.
Because every time Stand By Me, I think about when they had all them leeches on them.
Oh.
And dude, when he went to draws and passed out.
We all would have done that. That's what
I'm
saying.
Me as a kid, I was scared to go in. You know, I was in Boy Scouts thing. You couldn't pay me to get to no lake after watching that movie.
That movie. Even the train track scene when they crawling and when they on the bridge and that train's coming.
Yeah.
That's some real stuff, man.
Yeah, it is.
And I don't know what it is about the 80s, but I got chased by a lot of dogs in the 80s. So they're getting chased by a dog in that junkyard. I can relate to that. I don't know why people didn't leash their dogs while I lived that in the 80s, but I got chased by dogs all the time. The key was to be the fastest one out of your crew.
Right.
It don't matter. As long as you're not the slowest one, that's how it is.
Look, what was the name of that movie, man?
Who's in it?
You said something, and it made me think about another movie, but I can't. Goonies? I can't. Thank you.
That's got. See, when you have the Stand By Me conversation,
thank
Goonies
you.
Goonies isn't that, Jack. I right, love Goonies.
Right, Goonies.
Goonies.
Hey, you guys.
I wore that movie out, man.
Baby Root.
Man, that's when I quote a lot, too, because I love that
movie. Oh, man. There were so many hilarious parts in that movie. The fat kid. Oh my gosh, crying and telling all the lies. I'll tell his business from the time he was like in preschool to when he was like 4 or 5.
Yeah, the time when he pushed his sister downstairs and blamed it on the dog. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nah, oh, that was crazy. And it was funny because, man, when you go back and watch that movie particularly, I was so amazed that, I guess the graphics in the movie.
The graphics? What's
or the
video
so-called
game?
Graphics in the
you
movie.
About special effects? What are you talking
special
about?
Effects, yeah. Like the ship, the old pirate ship, and then all the gold and stuff. I felt like I went on that entire adventure with them.
Yeah.
From start to finish. And that's the reason why.
I think
it was so you could feel like you're going on an adventure with all of them. Like me and my siblings. We would literally, like, go in the living room and kind of, like, build some form of a tunnel or something to where we felt like anytime they was in the dark spots in that cave, we would be there with them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, Goonies, oh, my gosh.
That is hands down my favorite 80s movie. Hands down, number one.
I got
close second, Stand By Me. Sometimes they alternate. But when I think of 80s, I think of Goonies, man. And, they just cat. If you didn't grow up in the 80s, I don't think you understand. But, well, I'll tell you what. If you didn't grow up in the 80s, if you watched the Goonies, that's what it was like in the 80s. From the music to the kids being in the arcade, eating pizza and drinking soda in the beginning of the movie.
Right.
Or a milkshake, matter of fact.
Right.
Just the way they taught each other in that movie. Just the journey. Just them riding their bikes. Kids rode bikes back in the 80s.
They really did.
And it was for fun.
Right.
That was our transportation. That was our fun. They had the BMX bikes. We rolled those kind of things,
and
man.
Who didn't
and,
have a BMX bike? I think everybody had a BMX bike.
Well, we wanted one, and wanted it looked like it.
Right, right.
But yeah, that's what we did in the 80s, man. We didn't have all the stuff we have now, like the social media and all that stuff. We just actually went outside. Believe it or not, we went outside the house, and we played.
We actually played outside, like with other kids.
Other
you
kids,
know,
we
didn't play by ourselves.
Nope. And we did have a lot of time alone because back in the 80s, we was latchkey kids. So we had a lot of time on our hands to hang out with our friends and get into trouble and stuff like that.
Right, 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 right.
But Goonies, yeah, that's one of my favorite, man. I can't talk about 80s movies without talking about the Goonies.
Right.
And that one definitely captured it.
Right, right. I feel you. Now, I guess we're venturing away because I have a lot of movies that are not black that just.
We're just talking about movies in general. We start out with the black thing.
Man. Do you remember the. Tom Cruise Legend.
Mm-mm.
Oh my gosh, man.
It's called Legend.
Tom Cruise. It came out in 84. It came out in 85.
I never seen that.
Tom Cruise Legend. It's about him and being this like mythical land. And it's about the you know, like good and evil. Mm-hmm. And this guy is that plays like the devil. It's kind of even hard to explain. You just have to go see it. But it's one of them all time. Like favorite movies were of Tom Cruise back in like the 80s.
Oh wow.
Money Pit.
Oh, classic. But
oh my god. Tom Hanks.
Dude, the funniest part of the movie to me to this day, I will still laugh was when he put water in the tub and the tub fell through the floor and it broke.
He started laughing? Oh,
we was laughing together on that.
Yes, everybody. The funny part was I laugh so hard still to this day at that part. Because when you watch the movie, he's so frustrated. All he could do is laugh. And it's how he laughs that really sits you through.
It's hysterical now because it's like he's laughing, but he's like losing
his mind. In the midst of his laugh.
That movie,
the Money Pit. If you just want to feel like, if you want your stomach tight, like you done did like 150 like
crunches,
sit-ups,
whatever,
just
crunches,
just watch the Money Pit. When I say... Tom Hanks, that man, hands down, I mean, it was the girl from Cheers.
Christy Allen? No.
No, the girl from Cheers.
It's the other one. It's not Christy Allen, it's the blonde girl. That was
from Cheers.
I can't think of her name right now.
But
yeah,
that was the chick that was in the movie with him.
Mm-hmm.
That thing there, man.
That
when I say, I still have, like I said, these are movies that I have in my collection. You know what I'm saying?
Because
I still, because they just all the time, anytime I want to go down, remember my childhood. I go there.
I go there too.
What other ones? Well, you got some more?
Definitely, man. We're gonna do favorite movies real quick.
Okay.
So my favorite movie, my all time, I have two. I can't pick over the other. My favorite all time movie, but it's gonna be movies because I explained this too, is House Party. Okay. And Big Trouble in Little China was my two all time favorite movies.
Big Trouble.
And when I
Little China. I'm sorry, man. That's just right. All time favorite too, my man.
And so when I pick an all time favorite, it's a movie I can watch over and over. I can literally hit play, the movie can go off, and I hit play. That's what I call a favorite movie. Mm-hmm. And I can do that with House Party and Big Trouble in Little China. Now, I'm so amped to talk about this. I know you're gonna ask me why. If you didn't, I'm going to pretend like, yes, Yusuf, so why do I like those movies? For one, we got to go to Big Trouble Little China. Big Trouble Little China is my favorite movie because I think it has everything in it. It has action. It has martial arts.
Comedy.
It has comedy. It has a little love story involved in it. It has fantasy. Like, it's not missing anything. Other than the horror factor, which you can still, that's arguable because it's kind of some scary stuff in that movie.
Right, right.
But, that movie just has everything. To me, it's like a perfect movie. I don't have any flaws to say about that movie. From start to end, it's a great movie. Kurt Russell did a great job in the movie. I love that movie. It has everything, and I can watch it over and over. I can watch all these movies over and over. But
right.
And that one specifically, I love it. I sing along with it. I mouth the lines with the actors in the movie. I can be annoying if I allow myself to get there with the movie, especially in the beginning. When he's talking about in the beginning, the lighting is like small. That's how it always begins. The between his hands.
I remember
all of the lines, man. I be laughing, finishing the actors' line before they do, man. That's my favorite movie.
There's raining cats and dogs out here, huh?
Yeah.
That is by far one of my favorite, hands down.
Yeah.
And it's for every reason you name, because it has all those in it. And then I was somebody, if you are a true kung fu fanatic and you come from my age era, you're a 70s, 80s baby, you know who the Shaw Brothers are. You know, Shaw Brothers made every single kung fu flick back in the day. It was the same five Chinese brothers that played in at least 300 movies. You know what I'm saying? But I learned watching kung fu from that. So when I saw Big Trouble in Little China, it was like the newer version of the same old kung fu arts.
You know, the funny thing was, I didn't catch on to that line he said in the movie. Kurt Russell said it, and I'm going to tell you in a minute, until later. Let me explain it this way. Because in karate movies, kung fu movies that he's talking about, when the guy, they always talk about the kung fu dudes, they always flying up in the trees.
Right.
They was attached to wires, and they flying.
Yeah.
So Kurt Russell's pissed off because they done took his truck. He said, these guys flying around on a lot of wires, cutting everybody to shreds.
Right.
It's like, I never caught. Like, what does he mean, flying around on wires? He's making fun of the kung fu
movies. Yeah.
But funny thing is, the reality of the movie, that's what they were doing. They were just flying above his truck.
I never caught that.
Before you leave, I will play that for you.
And you know what? I think all these years, I remember him saying that.
Yeah, I never thought about it until I realized, he's talking about karate and kung fu movies. Like, yo.
Never thought about that. That's actually a really good one.
Yep.
Did you have another one?
Oh, House Party. House Party, I like House Party for a couple of reasons. One, I'm a huge Kid and Play fan.
Gotcha.
Definitely back then. Two, I like parties. And I love the music. Like the dance scenes, the stuff he's saying to each other in the movie, just they could have done it wrong with that movie for me. I love it. Especially the party scene when they battle the girls, they do the kick step, they modify that joint, they do like
right.
I lose my mind. I could be chilling on my couch. When that part come on, I'm up, I'm dancing. I could be tired. I don't care if I came in from work. When that part come on, I'm doing a Kid and Play, but I'm by myself or with somebody else.
Right.
I'm doing it. Like, hands down. But I think the movie had everything. My mom and I went to see that back when I was like, I don't know, 10 or 11. And she pointed out the fact they had even though some wrong stuff happened in the movie, they dealt with a lot of stuff in that movie, even with racist cops. Because his dad dealt with the racist cops. Same cops that stopped him. Stopped his dad. His dad told him off. They dealt with the safe sex aspect of it when he pulled out the rubber. And you know, are you on birth control? That's like, movies don't talk about stuff like that. They still don't to this day. They just go in and get it in. It don't say nothing about birth control or nothing. So I thought that was really dope. And even when Martin and Play was ragging on Kid for not having sex with the girl because he had no birth control.
Right.
It showed how guys think, well, man, if she have a kid, she got to take care of that. That's not your problem. Like, it dealt with a lot of social issues in a comedic standpoint, yo. But right. It had some crazy characters. The three bullies, yo, it was crazy.
And that was the three bullies. Treacherous Three. Full Force.
Then you got the famous scene with John Witherspoon next door. Public Enema. Who could give a Public Enema? And he's just heckling everybody walking in the house. That.
Yo, I forgot about that.
So yeah, you dealt with a lot in that movie, and but at the same time, it wasn't to the point where it was overly burdeningly preachy to you.
Right.
But it was funny.
Right.
They kept it moving, although everybody looked like they was way too old to be in high school.
Yeah.
As a kid, it didn't bother me. I didn't think nothing ever happened to see kid and play in a movie. Back in the '90s, we didn't have rappers in movies, like for real. So
you didn't. It didn't matter.
So when you seen a rapper in a movie, we were just happy to see our rappers in movies, right?
Right, right.
So I was watching like as an adult. My wife was like, "It's like who's that guy?" I was like, "That's his dad." Well, dad, he looked just the oldest kid. They're about the same age.
Well, stop! You're ruining it for me. Like, stop talking about it.
I can still watch it the same mindset and the same eyes I had as a kid, man. But yeah, the songs from the movie. Make me think about the movie. I got some of the songs from the soundtrack in my phone now, and when I come on, I think about those scenes. I think about the battle scenes. I think about, I be yelling, "Switch!" Like, everything I hear, everything. Like, when you watch a soundtrack, when you listen to a soundtrack, it always makes you think about the parts of the movie.
Yeah, you think about a certain part of the movie where you heard the song at.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot.
Alright, what you got?
I didn't jump to the, we can go back to the 80s and jump to the 90s, man. Menace to Society.
Oh, that's a 90s movie.
Yeah, I said we're gonna jump to the 90s,
so,
right?
I got so many subcategories, so that's one of my favorite gangster movies.
Yeah. Oh, so you got favorite
subcategories. I got subcategories every category you can think. Coming from age movies, 80s movies, 80s horror flicks, 90s horror, like I got all kinds of categories, top 10, top 100, whatever. But Menace to Society, Old Dog was off the chain. He's my favorite character.
By far was my favorite. I think he was everybody's favorite.
Of course.
And that's just because how hard he was, you know what I'm saying? I think he pretty much said what a lot of black folks just wanted to freely say back then, but just wasn't going to say, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he was just heartless. He just didn't care about nothing.
Yeah, he didn't give a F. That's what he said in the movie.
Yeah.
And
he played that role very well,
That too. Was a great movie, man.
It really was.
It was a powerful movie, too, because you watching all this stuff unfold throughout the whole movie. You know, you see them rob the people in the store. They shoot the people in the store.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, you know, you see the dude get stomped out in front of the house. But, you know, it came right back around, man. Like, Kane was literally about to leave. He was about to move to Atlanta, matter of fact.
Go to college.
And got shot.
She was going, right. Got killed. That part leaves you.
God, I'll never forget that. He's at the end of the movie. He's recapping. It shows light flashing before his eyes. He's laying there bleeding out, and he's like, "Someone asked me, did I care whether I lived or died? I didn't know." He said, "I do know." Yeah. And it's too late.
The movie goes off.
Like, whoa, like that
song come on right on, boy.
And that leaves you like
it leaves you. For a lot of people who, I purposely made my kids watch that movie about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you know, y'all don't know what real, like, gangster life is like.
Mm-hmm.
And let me show you what this real life is like, where people have to live this every single day of their lives to where they don't want to, but neighborhoods they in, they don't have a choice but to get invest in something that's going on that's criminalistic. So, you know, it opened up my kids' eyes a lot to see how grateful they were, you know, versus stuff like that. Because
I got a lot of movies to watch. At this conversation, I'm
gonna go. I got a lot of movies to watch.
I hate you, man. I'm sorry, but go ahead.
I got a lot of movies to watch. I ain't even mean to jump because I wasn't even done with the '80s. I ain't mean to jump to the '90s.
Why are we on gangster movies? We can jump. That's a whole conversation about movies. So that's all. All
right.
If you like movies, we're gonna talk about movies today. But of course, you gotta go with Boys in the Hood.
Oh,
with Doughboy, Ice Cube being Doughboy.
Oh yeah,
first role he nailed it. Yeah. It might not have been a stretch for him. I don't know.
All I know is that he nailed that. If he had never acted before, well, he had never acted before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he nailed it.
Yeah, he did. That's a great movie. It's not nothing I really want to get into with that one, but it was a great movie. I just remember just the way the cops were in that movie. And Lawrence Fishburne, I loved his role in that movie too as a dad.
Oh, I absolutely loved his role.
Yeah.
In that movie, and then you know he was the ex-husband to my wife, you know, Angela Bassett. Lord Jesus, I'm still gonna marry that woman. That woman is 60 something years old, and still just beautiful as ever. But you know,
take care of that body, man. She work out. Another part of the movie, I know I said I was gonna get into too much of the movie. What I liked about the movie was, I mean, they had a great cast though. I mean, you had Ice Cube, You had Morris Chestnut.
Yeah.
Cuba Gooding Jr. Larry. I don't know if you went by Larry Fishburne or Lawrence Fishburne back then, but Lawrence Fishburne.
Right. Right.
What's the girl from Friday? What's the girl? She played. She played on 227. I can't think of her name right now.
The hazel eyes. I know you're talking about.
No. Not the hazel eyes. She played Craig's sister in Friday. She grew up on. She played on 227.
Yeah.
I didn't have hazel eyes though.
Because her eyes always been hazel.
Regina King.
We talking about the same person.
Okay. Now she had hazel eyes.
Her eyes was hazel in that movie. The first time I ever seen her was on. Well, was 227 out before then?
227, yeah, she's a little girl in 227.
Okay, yeah, so that's what it was. I just know them hazel eyes. Yeah. I remember them hazel eyes.
I think the hazel eyes with the girl that was. I don't know. We have to watch it again. I haven't watched it in a while.
Look, right. We gotta watch it again.
Remember the dude in the wheelchair with the pacifier, his boy.
Yeah, he actually went to a soul cafe.
Man, you ruined the whole thing. I'm gonna say he saved. Now I met him before too, man. Forget it, Pudge. That's the end of the show, y'all. Time for shout outs. I don't want to talk no
more. My man said, I don't want to talk no more.
Just take the whole. Well, that's cool. I met him too. He's pretty cool.
And he kind of just. somebody told me that, one of the cast members from Boys in the Hood is going to be at Soul Cafe ATL. And I'm like, yeah, I'll just save it all. Folks just love to lie. That was my mindset. For love of the line, and guess who got him there? L.A.
Wow, L.A. knows some folks.
I mean, that boy know a lot. That man know about everybody. Yeah. So, one man, I asked who, somebody told me that name, and I was like, who he know that got him here? He's like, L.A. And I was like, okay, so that might be true.
Yeah.
I hit L.A. up. He was like, oh, yeah, it's my man, he'll be here. Dude showed up, man, with his wife and his daughter.
Yeah.
I actually have a video clip. It's a promotional Soul Cafe video clip, and he's on there.
Oh wow!
And I'm expecting him to say something about Soul Cafe and the high time we had and God and stuff like that. Dude harped on my wings.
Really?
He said Soul Cafe is something like where you want to be. They got good spirits. The vibe is good. Everybody's nice and kind. And to top it all off. Them wings, he actually advertised my wings for me.
That's
like
dope.
The last 10 seconds, and I didn't ask him to do that.
That's what's up.
But he was they like, my wife keep talking about it, my daughter want the recipe, and I gotta see how much money I gotta come out of pocket to see if I can get it. Like,
yo, that's crazy.
so that was really.
He's really in a wheelchair in real life too.
That's not play. Mm-hmm. And it's and I don't know if I'm assuming he's been in a wheelchair for a long time because that was a very long time ago.
Early 90s. Early 90s.
That was a very long time ago. And I didn't know if, I didn't know if it was legit or not. That was, just a part of the movie. But
I thought it was I met him in real life. Like, okay.
Right.
Either that or he take his role very, very serious.
I'm like 20-some years later.
Yeah, he's still method actor, still in character. But
that's funny. Still in character. Actually, it is.
And Wild Winners, I cannot leave this name out of this list when we talk about gangster movies. Juice.
Another classic. Oh my gosh. Another classic. Oh my gosh. You seen All Eyes on Me?
Yeah.
The movie?
Yeah.
So, I'm saying, when they talk about that part, and since we're talking about movies, what was your take on All Eyes on Me?
I liked it. I didn't have a problem. A lot of people hated on it and didn't like it. I didn't have any problem on it. I don't think it was on the same caliber as
Biggie's
movie or the NWA movie Straight Outta Compton. But I expected it to be different because it was a Pac movie, Pac was high, such a well revered artist. I'm like, man, they're not gonna mess up his movie.
Right.
I didn't feel like they messed it up. I just felt like it was something that was missing from it. I can't tell you what it was.
And I think that's what it was, a lot to me that was missing.
Maybe the storytelling format was a little different, than I expected. I don't know.
I felt like it was a lot that was missing. Then again, you got to understand, there are so many different aspects of that man's life.
Yeah.
And how you going to fit all that in there. You can't try to squeeze all that in a movie.
I wasn't talking about, I didn't think they was missing story. I think the way the movie was done, it was just something missing. How someone make a recipe, dang, something is good, but something, I feel like something's missing.
See, I felt like there was some stuff, some other things that they should have touched storyline-wise.
I felt that way, too.
That wasn't there, because there was major, It was major, parts of certain things that happened where, like you know what I'm saying, that, like, honestly, I never, now, there were some things I saw in the movie that I didn't know.
Yeah.
I did not know that, the president of the United States back then had went on TV making an announcement about Tupac's lyrics.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
So that was major. You know, a lot of people feel like the CIA killed Biggie and Pac. It didn't seem far-fetched after seeing the president of the United States quote Tupac's lyrics.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, somebody like N.W.A., Eazy-E was very smart because, you know, F the police and, you know, saying the president invited Eazy-E to the White House. Yeah. So when you see that Express Yourself video, yeah, when he's swinging around, he's sitting in the White House.
Yeah.
That was all portrayed because they had went to the White House already. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when and was it Reagan? Who was in office then? Whoever was in office
then?
Either
Reagan or Bush.
I think it was Bush.
I think it was Bush. Bush Senior.
Yeah. Wanted to understand the mentality of why, you know, us blacks feel like this right here. So that's what was said anyway. Mm. Either way it go, whatever Eazy did, he impressed that white man.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he impressed that white man to the point where they didn't let it go. You know what I'm saying? However, the challenge to put their music out didn't come to a complete halt.
Yeah,
because trust me, I think the president does have the capability to completely stop your music from getting played wherever. They can wiggle through some kind of laws or some kind of ways. You know what I'm saying? But after
they could put something, say it's a threat to Homeland Security and fault or something like that, or the Patriot Act. And,
I mean, think about it, man. They didn't ban F the Police. And even Ice-T's song F the Police.
They tried.
But they were successful in banning Two Live Crew.
They sure did. True.
Think about that. True. Now, Two Live Crew is just sexist. It's
vulgar
and talking about a lot of sex. You know what I'm saying? So that says a lot.
True.
That only says a lot to me as far as who you know and where your grace coming at, as far as like where your favorite coming at.
Yeah, I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, Pledge. We got to keep it moving.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
So we jumped back. So I think we missed them in the '80s.
We jumped. I had one in the '80s that was something similar to Harlem Night. I can't remember though. Shawshank Redemption.
It's not an '80s movie. That's '90s though.
It's '90s.
'93.
Dang, you look. At least you know it.
Yeah.
My man said '93. Did you ever see Disorderlies?
With the Fat Boys?
Yes!
I don't know about Disorderlies, man. I saw every rapper movie back in the 80s that came out, like, of course.
Yes, Disorderlies was a good one, too.
HBO was killing that movie, too.
It really was, man. I was so happy that I thought HBO was a black member. You know what I'm saying? Just because of the amount of black movies that came on HBO, man.
They put a lot on, yep.
That was, that one. It's some other ones. That I'm more so now you got me back on thinking about 80s movies.
Oh, I can name those right off the hand. I can tell you something.
Go ahead.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
All-time classic.
Yes.
That is a all-time classic.
Yes, I love that movie.
How can I forget that? That is an all-time classic.
Well, I have these conversations all the time. Like, yeah. I'm a movie fan, so these are conversations I have.
So you're a movie buff, so you get this all the time.
That's how I say good morning in my house. Yeah, top 10 favorite boy 80s movie kids. So you got Karate Kid, Stand By Me, Goonies, okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Come here, Tim. Lost Boys didn't make your list. You go to your room.
Now, Lost Boys was my... There was no vampire movie better than Lost Boys. And that music when it first come on, man. I actually...
I can't remember how it go on.
But you close, man. I actually took the beginning and end.
I actually had that soundtrack somewhere,
you know,
too.
Back in the day where, you know, you just pop a tape in and press record and whatever plays you recorded.
Dude, I had that movie. And that's what you do. We hit that. And matter of fact, I had a tape that had Lost Boys on it, Revenge of the Nerds, and it had Stand By Me on one tape.
Revenge of the Nerds is a good one, too, yes. Boy. That's an all-time... They just made some really good movies back
then.
In the 80s, man.
Either that or we just like
School Days. School Days.
That's when they had that song, Doing the Butt. That's what that song
came out. Doing the Butt. And, oh, man. And my father, When I say, man, I thought he was a member of that cause. You know, my father was a DJ, so Doing the Butt was something we heard every day.
Yeah, I remember they played at the Sanctuary one time.
I was there.
Was you at that one?
Yeah, I was there.
And my mom was like, are they playing that? And then next thing you know, I'm on the stage Doing the Butt. Like yeah, that happened.
This is that happened.
Doing the Butt. Like, oh, wait, we shouldn't be playing at the Christian Club. Okay.
It's too late. It's already happening.
And then when you got the founder up on the stage dancing live.
You're like, wait, it's too late. I'm already in. I'm already in.
I'm already committed. Right, keep it going, Dre. I'm already in.
Exactly. I'm already committed. I might as well see this thing all the way through. That was a, I totally forgot about that, but that was an all-time favorite as well.
Oh, School Days? Yeah.
Yeah. I should mind. He had a lot, you know. And then Do the Right Thing.
Do the Right Thing was one of my favorites, though. I like that one.
I think I'd like Do the Right Thing better than School Days.
I like Do the Right Thing better.
It just had a lot going on.
That's a lot. And I mean, that movie came out in 89, and I was 10, Do the Right Thing.
Okay.
And I was 10 years old, but that movie was heavy. It had a lot of stuff. I mean, it was for a 10-year-old to watch that and enjoy it, it's like, dang.
It was deep.
Because it dealt with racism in the hood. Mm-hmm. It was just a lot. Spike Lee movies back then dealt with a lot of heavy racism.
Yeah, shoot. Malcolm.
Malcolm was a great movie, too.
That movie was a brilliant movie, man. I actually remember when I was in high school when that movie came out. Do you know? And you was probably here. Do you know that movie came out on a Wednesday?
I didn't know that.
That's not the part. They literally let kids go to school for a half a day. Mm-hmm. And in a red
state.
When the movie Malcolm came out, you heard it all over the radio station. Wow. Schools are giving kids half days off to go look at this movie. Now, you know, this is Spike.
Yeah.
So Spike had already been putting out there how this movie is going to be protested, how it's not going to get played like it's supposed to, how the white man doesn't want us to see it. And he got out in front of it before they did that, before they kind of tried to marginalize the movie.
Yeah.
And because of that, and by this time Denzel was huge.
Yeah,
they started doing the opposite, which is pushing the previews out. But I don't think the white folks expected to get the response that they got.
Yeah,
to where it made me want to Google it to see what was the estimated how much money that movie made within the first 7 days in office.
Well, Google it.
You know what I'm saying? but literally in the state of Georgia, by 2:00 afternoon. Movies was packed with families.
Wow.
Not just kids. I mean, like, literally, there was parents coming to pick their kids up at 11, 12 o'clock to go straight to the movies to watch it. And I just felt like that was such a unity thing when it came to us, because it's like, this has everything to do with our people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's actually on a big scale now. Like, it's not like, like Rosewood undoubtedly was
a good movie.
That was an awesome movie to me. Now I guess we got this, and always why, because we talking about these movies with racism. Rosewood, Malcolm.
Dude, I got a story. Then we got to switch it up a little bit.
Okay,
but when you said racism movies, A Time to Kill.
Oh my God, Samuel
Jackson, Kiefer Sutherland.
Now from one father to the next. Could you have just allowed them to? Could you just think about the movie? You remember the movie?
Yeah, I don't remember the movie.
Okay, so you watching in court, seeing this dude get off?
No, I think at that point, I know what the right move should have been, probably on a spiritual level, but I don't know if I could have made that move.
Yeah, my thing is even me knowing what I'm supposed to do on a spiritual level, I can't physically say I would have been able to do that.
Because as a father, if you see or know somebody did that to your kid, you lose your mind. You'll be insane. I couldn't sit there. I love my kids, man. If I see anybody hit my kid, disrespect my kid, I'm ready to go off the deep end anyway.
Right.
So I can imagine. Like that. And then when the girl's talking about, Dad, I called for you, but you didn't come.
I forgot about that part.
So let me tell you. So this is in 96.
Uh-huh.
96, 97, the movie come out.
Okay.
At this time, I'm dating my future wife, which is Keisha, right?
Gotcha.
That is not a good date movie.
Y'all went to go see that?
Yeah, we did.
What?
And it's like, because it came out like, yo, it looks good. Let's go see it. She was down.
Really, dude?
Yeah. But it was very, very awkward.
Depressing. Did you even get a kiss after that date?
No, man. I think I spent most of the movie consoling her because, like, I swear. Seriously, she might not admit to it, but listen, I'm telling you, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Because back then, I was like, you know, hey, you want to see the movie? I want to see the movie Dayton. Let's go see it.
Right.
But that's what I'm thinking, right? I thought it could be upsetting but entertaining, which it was at times, but it was upsetting. But the thing was, when that girl got raped, and then everything after that, like, when she got raped in the beginning of the movie, my wife literally cried from that part of the movie to the entire end of the movie, just boo-hooing.
Now, that's so it's
like,
date.
So you on a date, and your wife was, like, crying like she had a funeral, man. So it's like, you watch the movie, then she wipe her eyes, look at the movie, then she go to crying again. I'm trying to console her. It's awkward as all out, man.
Oh, my God.
It's like, so nah. So for a long time after that, we had to just go see comedies, man. I couldn't.
I
will say from now on, if there's a movie like that come out, do not take your spouse or your girlfriend.
It's not a good date movie.
Well, if it's your spouse, maybe. But if it's a date, you're trying to set a certain tone for things afterwards, do not see movies like that. Romantic comedies, action flicks, yeah, but no movie that's gonna get you so upset and then. Like, little, she cried, boo-hoo, and crying the whole time. My right sleeve was soaked from
watching. Like,
that really hit her hard for some reason.
Now, and, who suggested that movie?
I don't remember. Maybe it's like, you want to say we both saw it. Hey, let's go see it.
Because I would have been like, hey, this is about racism. Like, you know, I went to the movies to see Rosewood.
Yeah, and we saw Rosewood, too. So back then, I guess we was kind of watching movies like that. I mean, it just appealed to us. Like,
yeah, I couldn't talk to, like, I was warning white people for, like, 2 weeks to, like, not even speak to me. Because you know what? It messed me up because it was based on a true story. And, like, a couple days after I saw it, Oprah Winfrey literally had a TV show come out with all the siblings from the parents that were massacred, you know, in Rosewood, Florida. So, to actually see siblings of some of the people I've seen on TV getting raped out in the streets with no problem, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. You know, I guess it really hit home. So I'm just like, I need y'all to understand. Like, I don't like any white people right now. Like, that's my whole mindset. Like, I don't
see that soundbite right there. So I can take a clip of this show, and they're gonna call us racist.
I don't like any white people right now. Right. They're going to take out the right now because right now will benefit me. Yeah. I don't like any white people. And they cut right off.
Crosstalk's racist.
Right. Hey, you know what? And it's sad because them sound bites, when people do sound bites, they do that. I think they do it strategically and purposely to get you messed up.
They do for ratings too. All right, man. Let's get something different. So, another movie from the 80s. And I'm going to bring this in, and hopefully it'll segue us to some superhero movies.
Okay.
So, 1989, Batman comes out.
The very first one?
Michael Keaton, Batman.
You said Michael Keaton.
The first Batman movie we had in our lifetime, Keaton. And it was freaking amazing. It was. Like, when I say amazing, like, we had everything was Batman back then. They had McDonald's commercial with the Batman thing. Then the Batman logo was on everything. I had, like, a little medallion chain with the Batman on. Like, everything had the Batman logo on it. It was so cool because if y'all didn't grow up in the 80s, before that Batman, we had the gray suit, the gray light gray Batman dancing all in the, with the bang paint.
Holy
tightrope Batman, that corny Batman.
Yeah.
And then we went from that to this mysterious Batman in all black with the dope Batmobile.
Yeah, that was
and
dope.
He's showing up in the fog and people scared. He's picking up people, dropping them on this side. Like, it was amazing. It was amazing. That Batmobile is still my favorite Batmobile to this day.
For real.
And then you got the new logo coming. Like, yo, I was like, dang, this is dope. Because we ain't never seen Batman wear a black anything. He was Batman on TV. He had light blue. Even when Batman was appearing on Scooby-Doo cartoons, it was light blue. And they looked goofy. They was dancing and had the ridiculous bat utility belt. But this Batman had cool toys.
The ridiculous bat utility belt.
He had everything in that bat
belt. But it was. I never heard nobody call it a utility belt.
I remember watching one episode of that one, the old school Batman, the 60s Batman. And they was climbing up the side of a building, right? And they had these bars on the window. So they took the bars off. And Batman reaches into his bat belt, and he pulls out a suction cup with a hook on it, hooks it to the glass to hook the bars onto the glass. Like, really, you just happen to have a suction cup with a hook on it in your bat belt? Like, it's like, come on, man. But yeah,
I just played because I could never get into that Batman.
Me either. I tried to, but I couldn't. But the 80s version, you had the Joker doing his thing. It was Jack Nicholson played the Joker, and it was hilarious. He did a great job with that. And then you had Prince doing the soundtrack.
Right.
It was a whole
cool... I forgot, that's when Prince was the symbol then.
Yeah, it was a whole cool thing, man. It was really cool, and just the way it looked, the whole look was dark. We never saw Batman look that realistic to us.
Yeah.
Dark, it was like, it was dark, and it was realistic, it was gritty. It didn't have no cartoonishness to it, in the first one at least.
Yeah.
And then that Batmobile with the flame coming out the back of it, yo, and it's just going down, the leaves are moving, and they go into the Batcave. It's like,
this is
what Batman should have been. Like,
how it's always supposed to be. Yeah. Like, this right here.
So that movie was killing the box office when it came out, man. I love Batman.
And I actually forgot about the very first one until you said Michael Keaton.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's how I know. Which one? Because that's the one I think about the most.
I remember I was sick. This is now we can gotta take you back for real. So I remember one day, and it's no coincidence by any chance, Mom. We went to Blockbuster Video when we actually used to go rent videos. This was a VHS tape, and I saw Batman on the shelf, so we rented Batman. Coincidentally, and I really mean this, coincidentally, I was sick from school the next day. Shut up, bud.
Right, because I'm sick. Like.
And you I remember sitting home with the tissue in my nose, sniffling and eating, drinking the tea.
Couldn't wait for her to go to work so you can crank that up.
And watching Batman over. I watched Batman over and over that whole day. Like, it would go over and rewind and watch the movie over and over that whole day.
Oh,
but
my
promise you, Mom, I was
he's still trying to plead his case on the phone.
Sick. It wasn't had nothing to do with written Batman the night before I caught out.
It's hilarious that he's still trying to plead his case right now.
Because I know my mom, she ain't going to believe me, but it's true.
Wait a minute. So Mom didn't know you stayed home?
She know I stayed home. No, my point is I was sick the next day. I don't want her to think I was faking sick because we rented the Blockbuster, the Batman movie. Now, she know I stayed home. I was in like fifth grade. She know I stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. All right.
That's hilarious.
So favorite superhero movie? Because I want to get on some superhero stuff. So I'm trying to be diverse with these conversations.
Favorite superhero. If one can't come straight to my head, then... I mean, honestly, man, trying to be funny, but The Last Dragon. I know you're talking about DC Comics and all that other stuff, but you look, everybody got their own version of a favorite superhero. Mine was The Last Dragon. That brother came through and whooped ASS for everybody in his family and his dojo. He was a superhero to me.
Okay.
I get what you're saying.
Okay.
But that's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay. I can't even think of a movie.
Okay, so fine. Okay, I hear you. I like the movie. No takeaway from The Last Dragon. I love it myself. But I just want to make sure, like, we got to do like court. I want you to make sure you understand that when you say that, you're missing all the Avengers movies. You're leaving out the Iron Man movie. You're leaving out all the Superman movies. Even the new one, Man of Steel. Even the new Batman movies.
You said my favorite.
I will make sure you understand what's on the table here when we say this, okay?
Favorite. Like, honestly, my favorite is none of them. My favorite is...
Meteor Man?
Nope.
Blake Man?
My favorite is the Shaw Brothers. Like I said, I grew up watching Kung Fu all my life. So, you know what I'm saying? People probably gonna think I'm funny, but... Jackie Chan was making movies back in the late 70s, early 80s, like Snake and Crane. Dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was one of my favorite, like, heroes because, I mean, think about it. Every Kung Fu movie is based on somebody in the family dying. Yeah. They going somewhere to get trained.
Okay.
They go back and defeat
those are the heroes. Enemy. I get that. But were they superheroes? Did they have a superpower? That's what I mean, superpower.
Who defines super? Just because we're
super
in front of
it? Oh, my God, he's political right now. Superpowers, man. Superpowers.
Because you said superhero.
Okay, superhero. Yeah, I understand that you're hero. But they have to have superpowers. A meteor land, they have some power. Or they're born mutant abilities. They can move stuff, they mind, teleport, fly. Something. Not some dope kung fu movie. I think it's dope. They have to have superpowers. Yes, I think some great martial arts movies. They're great heroes. Bruce Lee, Chuck Norris, all the people you name. Great. But they don't have any laser beams. They don't have x-rays. They don't have a cape.
Wow, what's my dude name?
Luke Cage?
No, you probably won't even guess. If I had my kids and your kids here, they would know exactly who I'm talking about. It's oh my gosh, it's Bending. air, water, earth.
The Last Airbender?
Yep.
You like that movie?
Yeah, like he will be, because you know, before the movie came out, you know, the cartoon had been out for
years. I like the movie. A lot of people hated the movie.
No, I love the movie.
I like the movie. It was dope.
And I'm trying to figure out why they made another
because one. It didn't do well. That's why. Because that movie, when aired, the Last Airbender came out, it's supposed to spark, it's supposed to be like the start of the other ones. Like the last
Korra.
Yeah, it's supposed to, all that's supposed to come after that. But since it didn't do well, they scrapped it, man.
Darn. And I liked really, it. And I really like honestly, and I didn't go way back to like Superman when I first saw him on TV, you know, saying like of course, you know, in the '80s I'm looking at Superman, of course, you know, that's the only superhero, that's the only person I've ever seen with any kind of superpowers. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Now honestly, you know, by this time I'm still young, but I just have an issue with how pearly white he is with this little curly a loop in the front of his head, looking all extra cute. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he was a cool superhero, but he wasn't like, oh, I want to be like him, fly to him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I've seen other like people come. Actually, man, I was a fan of the Incredible Hulk,
the show.
Yeah, the show.
With Lou Ferrigno. Yeah.
Way before I saw any kind of So if you want to go old school, I'm going to say The Incredible Hulk because that was a TV show that I watched along with Superman, and you know what I'm saying, and the Hulk. I would love for somebody to make him angry. Just so I can see the green dude come out. So, what's yours?
My favorite show?
No, your favorite old school super. Now, and I said old school because I have new school superheroes like now.
Okay. If you're going to go old school, for me, I mean, we didn't have much old school, though.
Exactly. That was saying you didn't have much to choose from.
Honestly, Superman, he's not my favorite hero anyway. I like Superman, but he's not my favorite. But far as the Batman movie was, but I like Superman, too. Superman 2 is probably my all favorite, all-time favorite old school superhero movie is probably Superman 2. That's the one when they had Zod and the other two come from the Phantom Zone, and they show up on Earth, and they start terrorizing stuff. And it's just a great movie to me.
Okay.
And they fight in New York City.
Right.
And he throw him to the Coke sign. And this is a dope movie. I love that movie. That's a long movie, too, by the way.
It is.
But that's my favorite one. And then the close second is actually Superman 3, only because Superman was a bad guy for a little while.
He
got that bad kryptonite. So you don't get to see Superman with a 5 o'clock shadow. And he's drunk in the bar and all that stuff.
You don't.
Pushing Lena Tower pizza the other way, making holes. It was just funny.
Right.
And you have Richard Pryor in there. A lot of people didn't like that one. I liked it.
I love the fact that Richard Pryor was in it.
All right, man. We got a table mix. I know we're getting close to running out of time. So
yeah, we are.
This is a great conversation. These conversations can go on forever. So next time, we will do more movies. We will do more shows. We will do more categories, top 10, top whatever. We're definitely going to do this again because we know fans want to hear some lighthearted stuff. And everybody likes movies.
They do. So, they do. I you notice, I guess, because we two men, we ain't named no chick flicks.
I could name some, but I ain't about to put that out there right now. You know, I will say, you know what, I will say this. And
you know you watch white chicks, man.
Listen, at the risk of my reputation, I will put this information out there. And I have to set this up because if you come up a certain way, sometimes you don't realize certain things.
Right.
I didn't realize I watched chick flicks and liked them.
What?
Okay? And it's like,
what?
I didn't, right? I like, oh, that's a good movie. It never was a chick flick to me, right? Unless I didn't like it. Like, okay, I don't like chick flicks, right? And I couldn't find out. I started thinking about the movies I watched with my mom coming up. See, I grew up, like I'm going to say it, see.
That's funny.
I grew up in the household. I didn't have a father around. So when I grew up, it was my mom and my younger sister mostly. Because my older sister, she had moved out by the time I was old enough to really enjoy watching a bunch of movies with my mom. We watched movies all together, too, at one point. But gotcha. It was mostly me, my mom, and my little sister.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I've been transparent about other stuff on the show, so I'm going to let this out there, y'all.
Right, because I'm like, you had to take a little deep breath and all that, man.
I like a lot of romantic comedies. I like what they would consider chick flicks. So I will admit to two, just for the sake of the show, and just say the show that
for
I am transparent.
For the sake of the show. Oh, my gosh.
And it don't get no more chick flick than this, but I do like Beaches. I like Beaches.
Dude, I don't even know what that is, and I don't think I want to know.
Okay, and if I describe it to you, it's going to sound too much more like a chick flick. It's about
describe it, Steph. give us full description of what this movie is about.
It's about these two women. It's about friendship between two women, what they go through from coming up. Like, they grow up together, and they meet on the beach. and they grew up with Bette Midler, and I can't remember the other actress's name, and they grew up and they go through like all kinds of just different stuff in the movie. Like, and then I don't want to tell the end because it's just
I ain't gonna watch it.
One of them dies, but anyway, it's a classic because they actually did a remake of it. It's actually a black version of it now.
Okay,
they have an all black cast, which I probably will see. But Beaches is one of my 6 o'clock.
So that means you've watched The Notebook several times, huh?
No, Notebook is one I do not like. I watched Notebook. I thought it was overrated. Now, I did. I watched Notebook. It did not do anything for me. I love the Titanic. Say what you want to say.
Oh, I watched the Titanic. Okay, I didn't know Titanic was a chick flick.
Okay, here's how I found this out, how you determine a chick flick. Because I was telling my coworker, I went to the movies and I saw the best man Holiday, right?
Uh-huh.
And she said, oh, so you like chick flicks? I was like, no.
Immediately, no.
That's where the whole conversation started, man. So I started realizing back, like, that's why this is the conversation.
Immediately, what's it? No.
This is the conversation that helped me to realize that I do like some chick flicks, right?
Whatever do you mean?
And so I said, so this is how she got me. This is a good gauge. She said, would you go to a movie with a dude to see it? I was like, no. She's like, then it's a chick flick. All right, so I started thinking about, like, all the movies. I'm like, okay, well. Oh, like, dang, I guess I did.
You know, it's a bunch of movies you might not go to. Movies with a dude with.
And I think the chickiest chick flick I actually do like. I have to admit this. I stumbled upon it. You know how you don't want to watch something, someone put it on, and you're like, you're trying to hate it, and you just kind of start liking it.
Uh-huh.
For me, honestly, when I say this, I'm a heterosexual male.
Uh-huh.
I like women. I have no problem with my masculinity issue. Out. I got a nice burly beard I'm working on right now, so I just want to say, I actually do like the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
See?
You haven't seen it, but I have daughters, so we watch it together, and I like it. I actually liked it before I had daughters. My sister watched it, and my mom watched it in front of me one day, and I'm like, I don't want to watch this garbage, and I don't want to describe it to you, because it is like the chickiest chick flick. It is a chick flick. It's a chick flick.
I just wish y'all could see my face right now.
And, I don't want to. Of you who know what it is, you already know. So I'm not going to go into the description of that one right there.
Why not? We want to know. Oh, God. I don't know what this movie is. I don't know what it's about.
I bet you. You could watch it. And like, dang. I bet you and Nayeli could watch it. Like, dang, Stephanie.
Now.
I will
use my daughter for a full excuse on why exactly. I'm watching it.
I use my daughter for an excuse to buy it. I'm like, kids, I got this for you. We need to watch it. I got this for you. And when I get enough money, we're going to get part two. But I got it for you. But
you know, trying to convince her that you really did get it for her.
But honestly, man, if I describe it, I can't do it any justice because it's going to sound really stupid.
Uh-huh.
It's going to take away from how the movie really is. But it's about these four girls. They're teenagers, and they're going through different things in their life.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a point where I think they leave in high school, so they're going a different way for the summer or whatever. And then they went to the store and they bought this pair of pants. All four girls are different sizes, but miraculously, when the girls put on these pants, it fits each girl perfectly.
Mm.
So it's called the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants because they made some weird pact that they're gonna send the pants to each other over the summer, and then they're gonna write stories about what happened while they wore the pants. And that's basically what the movie's about, but it's a way so you can see the four different lives which happened to them throughout the summer.
Okay.
So it's a dramatic movie. It's funny. It's got all kinds of cool stuff in it. It deals with a lot of different stuff. From I guess to me it would be like an equivalent of like, in a sense, like how I think guys how Stand By Me captured the coming of age of young boys going to a teenagehood and to adulthood.
Gotcha.
I think Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants does that for females.
Ah, okay.
So, but I would like to say, I watched it unwillingly the first time I watched it. And I ended up liking it, so I ended up buying it. And my girls like it too. And I will be buying part two. So finally, I can admit it to my sister that I do like the movie. And she knew I liked the movie anyway. I bought it. I'm like, yeah, I bought it for your nieces. She knew.
When you get the stuttering.
My
nieces. It's
like,
all right.
It's like when you got a cartoon movie come out or you don't want to be like the creepy guy in the movie, so you got to find some kids to take. Like, kids, we're going to see this. I really want to see it, but I don't care if you look. You're going just so I don't like a creepy pervert in the movies watching Shrek or Despicable Me or something. You know what I mean? So,
exactly.
So anyway, those are my two movies. And that's what we find out what chick flicks Yusuf actually like. Next movie segment we do, we will find it out. But anyway, we got to get going, and we're going to make sure we do shout-outs this time.
I say do a shout-out.
I got to do shout-outs. I'm pulling them up on my phone as we speak because people look forward to that. And I know some shows we don't do shout-outs because they don't always come up on the website on time. But I'm going to the website right now, and I'm telling you who we're shouting out. And the phone's loading slow. All right, here we go. So major shout out, first and foremost, major shout out to my mom who always listens. Thank you, mom, for always, always listening. Mm-hmm. Thank you to homegirl and Kyans, whose name I do not know. Yusuf knows her name. I do not know your name.
Alicia.
Thank you, Alicia. Special shout out to Alicia for always listening and checking us on the shout out. So she's like, I look forward to the shout out. So we make sure we give it to our fans for real. Thank you for being a loyal fan. Truly, truly thank you for that.
Right.
Now, let's see who our listeners are. Pudge, I don't know what happened to Tokyo, man. They're not number one lately, so. But we still got love for them. They still got love for us, but they just not show up in our top 10. But I will give a shout out to Bogota, Colombia, tuned in.
Okay.
Shout out to Bogota, Colombia, or I don't know what I'm saying. I mean, it's, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right or wrong.
Uh-huh.
The Bronx, New York. Shout out to Bronx, New York, Millersville, Bronx. Dallas, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona. We got a lot of love out of Arizona lately, too.
That's what's up.
A lot of love for Arizona. Special shout out to y'all. Let me go through some more. We got Conyers again, of course. Fayetteville, Philadelphia.
Spokane,
Washington. And I'm excited, man. I don't know if I mentioned Compton yet, but I'm excited to have Compton as
well. Yeah, I think you
shout outs to Compton again. That's the first time we had Compton show up on our radar as one of our top listeners. So shout outs to Compton.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Yeah, we really appreciate you. Thank you for everybody who didn't make this. We know you still listen. Thank you for everyone who supports. Thank you for my wife who listens to every single episode that we put out, except for the ones where I go a little too far on some other details. Some episodes she purposely not listen to, like, well, I share some stuff I probably that's probably gonna upset you.
Right.
So she don't listen to those. But shout out to my wife for always supporting us and listening to us. Everyone is every listen. Everybody that continues to listen, all the prayers that go out on behalf of us. We truly thank you for you as well. That shared our flyers, that showed for all the love, man. There's just so much people we can thank. It's like I feel like I'm accepting the award right now. I'm just so thankful for everybody. Seriously, I'm thankful for everybody.
He sounds like accepting the award right now.
You know, shout out to the fans. Shout out to my producer, you know, which is me. Shout out to my producer. Shout out to my editor, Big Pudge. Big Pudge, about you, man. We wouldn't be here, bro. Shout out to our graphic designer, Adam and Belinda.
Oh, my goodness.
For the 7th spot. Shout out to Robert, Yen Rock Studios for Loveworks Studios for hooking us up
on the mix, you know what I'm saying? On the recording, the mixing and whatnot.
Shout outs to Big Pudge for coming up with the dope song and the concept. Without the concept, maybe we wouldn't even have a show. That song takes up half our show. It's like a 5-minute intro song. But anyway, yeah, we're getting silly. But thank y'all so much for tuning in. I'm Steph Swig.
I'm Big Pudge.
Crosstalk
Radio. Peace.